Hi, welcome to Gardening Related. This is Aunt Rebecca in Oregon. And
this is Elizabeth over in New York. How are
Hi,
you?
Sweetheart. I miss you like a ton of bricks. I just miss you.
I miss you too. I miss you too. Yeah.
I know. We took Kathy Ray to a Thai restaurant the other night and she ordered tofu with vegetables and I thought about you.
Because of were you able to hold your own meal down while watching someone else eat tofu?
I was, but she orders it every time and I just don't understand it. She knows that about me. So I think she does it on purpose.
Probably. She probably does. Yeah.
I don't know. Tofu and I, not a happening thing.
I think you just haven't met the right tofu.
Oh, I've tried so hard. You know, when I first started eating pad thai in New York,
so good.
It had tofu in it.
Yeah.
So I would eat it, but it left me blank, just blank, like it was no taste at all and kind of mushy. Just like a good lima bean, no taste. If a lima bean had no taste and wasn't mushy, I'd eat them.
Yeah. Beans are a tough one for me, you know?
Yeah.
Like, when you get them out of your own garden, it's different, but you want to make controversial opinion. Don't tell anyone because I feel like this is, you know, really big stuff. So just between you and me and you listeners.
And our listeners.
I don't like minestrone soup.
Because of the beans?
Because of the beans. I just think it's like...
I think it ruins it. I do like minestrone soup because they put oregano in it. That's what makes it a different from just a vegetable soup. Beans and oregano.
Yeah. Oregano is good. I do like the oregano and the garlic. Yeah,
and I hate beans. Yeah. I hate those. I love green beans.
Oh, fresh beans.
Fresh green beans.
Yes.
That's a different story. But any of the dried beans, no. My mother used to make a navy bean soup that everybody raved about with ham hock, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And I'm still not a fan.
Yeah.
You know, all these years later, she's gone 10 years this December, and I still don't like navy bean soup. Go figure.
Well, guess what? No one is forcing you to eat navy bean soup. So there you go. Yeah.
Thank goodness. Yeah. I have made it a couple of times. And she put a relish in it that I've never seen anybody else on the planet do.
A relish? Like made pickle relish?
No. Like she made up a relish. She chopped up very fine onions, tomatoes, and bell peppers. And she put it in a bowl and she filled it half with water and half with vinegar, white vinegar. And that was the relish. And it cut through the heaviness of the beans. And you just ladle it into your soup bowl and you'd get a bite of that vinegary, crunchy niceness with your heavy beans. And then you'd eat the cornbread with heavy butter and then you're saying something.
Yeah. See, I think that's the thing is beans are fine when they have the right entourage around them.
Yes.
You know, like they need friends and like
they need a lot of friends.
Really good, supportive, fatty, flavorful friends who can basically carry the show.
I completely agree.
Yeah.
And even more just the friends and not the beans. You know, we could leave the beans on the shelf for a while.
Yes.
But don't tell them.
Some cornbread slathered in butter.
Yeah.
Oh, you need that. God. Yes.
You need that.
You need
that. In fall, you need that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm going to make chili soon, but that's with meat, so you don't have to listen. But I'll have it with cornbread that's without meat and slathered with butter so you can have that.
And you puree the beans so you don't have to eat them.
That's right. I do puree my beans. And so my chili is velvet. My chili is really good.
Mm-hmm. It is.
Okay.
Okay.
Thanks to Ben Fernandez from the New School. He was the head of the photographic division and he lived in New Jersey. And he was a friend of your dad's, my brother.
Oh, yeah.
And Ben gave me his chili recipe, and it makes a ton of chili, and it's so good. Mm. But he didn't puree his beans. That's on me.
There you go. You are the the divine inspiration holder
I am
on the pureed beans.
Because I hate them, so I don't want to eat them like that. But I will eat a pureed bean. I will. I'll even eat hummus.
Oh yeah, chickpeas. Yeah, I love chickpeas.
You know, I read someplace on one of my gardening websites that they're called dragon seeds.
Well, I love that.
I know, mystical. Isn't that cool? I know, that's really cool.
Why are they called dragon seeds?
Because when a chickpea comes out dried, it looks like a sort of a thing.
Huh, okay. I'm going to make a chickpea salad tomorrow just so I can look at them.
Huh. Well, they have to be dried.
Okay.
Not from the can.
Oh, I only get them from the can. Can you get them like bagged and dried?
Yeah, I'll send you a picture.
Okay.
There is a native plant nursery that I've been trying to find, and I found it today.
Oh, good.
Called Symbiop, Symbiop. Mm-hmm. And it's at gardenshop.symbiot.com. And it has a picture of dried chickpeas. You can buy them to plant.
Wow.
Seeds.
Although, of course, they're not native to here. Not unless you live in Israel.
Well, they might not be native to you, but they might be native to Oregonians. Because they're on their website. They're native.
Huh.
There's some things I found out about natives when I was reading about natives for this talk today.
Ooh,
one.
So tell me. Yes.
I am so impressed. One is... Everybody cries for low maintenance gardening. Mm-hmm. Everybody. It's always too busy to garden and then you want a good looking garden and you want things that bloom all year. Mm-hmm. Natives are it because they can bloom not all summer. Nothing blooms all summer except an annual. But you can time your plantings so that they bloom all year, all season long. So that, you know, some bloom in early, some bloom in mid, some bloom in late fall, so that you can have all these lovely blooms. They take less water. They don't become invasive. Sometimes they reseed, sometimes they don't because they're annuals, or because they will take, and you don't have to worry about them getting too cold in winter or too hot in summer or too dry because they're natives.
Yeah.
So the things that will come back for you. So if you want to feel like a successful gardener and not have you looking at a very empty plot of garden space next year when all of your plants have died because they couldn't take the winter or you watered them too much or this or that, plant natives.
Yeah. And you'll have them forever. You know,
that's right.
Daisies
that's
will
right.
always come up, you know,
that's right. And
I love
and
it.
Also, they use less. They need less insecticide and pesticides. Mm-hmm. In fact, none.
that is less. That
is less. almost none. I'm sure that there are some situations in which kudzu has been intervening or whatever. But because they attract the native bugs, they then attract the native good bugs to eat the bad bugs.
Yes. Yeah.
And they have a tendency to flourish where weeds would grow. And so they sometimes shade out the weeds.
Ah. And you can get some pretty tenacious native plants that, you know, will stomp out any weeds, any invasives. They'll go.
And I was shocked to realize that I thought, you know, I have these big, beautiful English gardens.
Yeah.
And I thought, oh my gosh, I'm going to have to set a place away for my natives. I found I have probably a dozen or two native plants in where I grow my plants. And that shocked me.
Yeah.
Like I have lupins and alliums and penstemon and sedums and dicentra. Dicentra. Come on. I'm having a senior moment.
No worries.
It's in spring. It's okay. Dicentra. And yarrow.
Oh,
yarrow.
Yeah.
Yarrow comes in a lot of different colors now, and the bees love it. And camassia, which is something that probably won't grow for you, but does here because of the milder winters. Mm. It's a bulb that shoots up pretty blue and purple flowers. It's gorgeous. And spirea and red twig dogwood. I've got a whole bunch of that.
Ooh. And how beautiful. How much do you love it? Like, they're pretty, you know? They're not ugly.
No, I have them in my backyard, mm-hmm. up against arborvita, which is another native.
No way. And,
yeah, way. Ah. And so I have this layering effect. The arborvita grow up and hide the neighbors in the backyard in the swimming pool. And in summer, I have a variegated dogwood. And in winter, all these red twigs stand out. It's beautiful.
Oh, that's gorgeous.
Yeah. And Brodia. I'm going to send you some Brodia.
Oh, Brodia
is it's really pretty. It's blue. It's a bulb. And it kind of is like a little firework. It doesn't grow very tall, so you have to put it in the front of your border. And it's a bulb, and it shoots out these blue little flowers. And it's about a foot tall.
Oh.
And if you mass plant it, you know, don't put one here and one way over there.
Right.
Plant them within plant six or eight in a foot.
Mm-hmm.
You'll have a blue foot. It'll be beautiful.
Oh, yeah. Of course, that's one of your natives. It's not one of my natives.
It's true.
So we have, you know, also another thing that I like about native planting is it creates more diversity when you go other places.
You know,
like
it does.
Sure. In your neighborhood, if everyone planted native, how amazing would that be? The animals would be so happy and everything. You would have similar plants, but then going other places, you would see these different varieties and different species. And yeah.
Yes. Yes. And what shocked me about this is that I thought that I had to plant natives in their own bed and not water them and have soil that wasn't very good for them, because natives don't have amended soil.
Right.
They just grow where they are. And instead, I found that I have a great many plants that are natives that do get watered and do and will survive in amended soil and will survive even a daily watering when it gets hot. And that surprised me.
Mm-hmm.
That really shocked me.
Hmm.
But I also want to focus now, since I've been reading, I want to focus now on getting things that are more for the birds.
Yeah.
Because I learned that, for example, I have several elderberries.
Oh, how exciting. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
You can make elderberry wine or elderberry syrup. Oh, so good.
I could, or I could just leave them for the birds, because that's what my energy tells me to do, because I'm an old fart by now. I'm too old to make elderberry wine.
Fair enough.
I wouldn't drink it anyway. You can make elderberry wine when you come visit.
Sounds
However,
good.
I what was interesting to me was that I started with a hybrid, a black lace, a black negligee elderberry. It's got Ooh. Very beautiful lacy black flowers. Okay. And it kind of didn't like one winter we had here. It was growing and growing and growing, beautiful, beautiful. And then one winter it didn't come back as it should.
Mm-hmm.
And one summer the sprinklers weren't working well enough for it. So it really went downhill. And instead of ripping it out, I just kind of held in there and I trimmed it way, way back. And all of a sudden, I started getting other elderberries. It started seeding in other places. And I got a native elderberry several times over.
That's awesome.
So now I have places. Oh, pie. I have places for where elderberries can grow and the birds can eat them.
I love it. I
Me
love
too.
It. So why would you want to feed birds?
Because I noticed that, you know, when we moved here, there was a Christmas tree farm,
mm-hmm.
and the trees were small and sparsely growing, because it had been harvested several years in a row. And we were losing money on the Christmas trees. They would charge us $4 to trim the trees and $2 to cut them and haul them away. So we would lose $2 on every tree. And the weeds in between the trees were astronomical. So what I learned was that it would be better to plant wheat. And they came one year and they trimmed down all the trees. They cut down all the trees and burned them, which broke my heart.
Yeah.
Oh. But I noticed that the birds declined. So I've been planting hundreds and hundreds of trees and big shrubs mm-hmm. for them to take refuge in. And I want to plant more. Mm-hmm. I want to plant oaks. I think everybody in this country, especially in the South, should be planting oak trees, because if it gets hotter and drier in the South,
yeah,
then oaks will survive. And the birds will survive with the oaks, because mm-hmm. acorns will feed them and the oaks will give them shelter.
Absolutely. Acorns are an incredible source of food for
yes.
for the wildlife.
Yes.
I mean, yeah. And oak trees in general, I mean, they're native across America. Of course, you want to...
Exactly.
Not all oak trees. You know, there are some European ones. So you want to do your research and don't just
That's
buy
right.
the trees that they have at Home Depot because they have them
no.
there.
Right. You've got to look up which oaks are native to your area.
Yes.
Then you don't have to worry about it.
Yeah.
They live on the weather that's there.
That's there. And you know what? You could just let your grass grow for a season. See what trees are coming up. Fence them in. And let them go.
You could do that. You could also plant flowers in your lawn.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
That are, you know, there's one of mine that's a native that's called Clarkia, which Ooh. Is also called Godetia, and it's called Farewell to Spring.
Ah, yes.
And it is a great little flower, and they would look beautiful in a lawn.
They would.
And the bees would love you for it.
Yeah. Well, why I mentioned letting your lawn grow is
yes.
because there's one style of permaculture where you just let everything grow for a year and you watch it and you take notes as to what grows. So
right.
if you have now, you'll have to fill in the gaps for me because I
That's okay.
do not have the full extent of this. But if you have like,
That's okay.
say, an azalea growing in one mm-hmm. area, you know that it likes acidic soil. So you should mm-hmm. plant other acidic soil loving plants there.
That's right.
You know, if grasses grow in one section, that's a great place to grow other grasses that you'd like to grow, or wheat.
Yes.
You know, and so or, you let the land tell you how it wants to be designed.
Yes. And if you're going to grow your lawn out, you could also put in, this is a radical idea, but I really love it.
Oh.
You could put in bird seed that will grow to to feed the birds.
Oh, I love it.
If you're not going to cut your grass, why not?
Yeah. Yeah. I love it.
You know, I would hang a bird feeder out, and the next year I would have tons of shoots of bird seed stuff coming up mm-hmm. underneath it. You could just do that. Hang three bird feeders in your lawn.
Yeah.
And watch what happens the next year as you let your grass grow out, you're going to be able to feed your birds.
Yeah. Yeah. Harvest the bird or the seed from your lawn and then feed it back to them. Because they'll spread it.
Yeah, they will. I have a beautiful native lupin that showed up as a gift on my hedging. It showed up right along the driveway on my against the hedges, on the outside of the hedges, not on the inside, but on the outside where it's easy to grow stuff. Mm-hmm. And it was this beautiful, huge purple blue lupin.
Oh,
and it's native.
Gorgeous.
And it's native. Yeah.
Yeah.
And the birds did that.
I love it. I love it. Yeah. So that's one of the reasons why you want birds, is because they'll plant things for you.
Yes.
Yeah.
And they'll cut down on the slugs and snails. Mm-hmm. I see them go, you know, I sit on my porch sometimes and I drink my coffee or I have an iced tea and I'll watch the birds fly across from the front porch, one side of the house to the other, because the trees are on one side and my little nursery is on the other. Mm-hmm. And they'll go to the nursery and I'll see them come back with a snail in their beak. It's like one, two, this is great.
I love it. Yes, do the work for me. It's all about planting with the land instead of fighting it, you know?
That's right.
And it's easier and the earth will thank you, you know?
It will.
We want to be here breathing air and drinking clean water for the foreseeable future and enjoying our beautiful gardens. And we can do all of those things easily.
We can. And also, if you Google, because we can't go into plant nurseries across the United States. It would take too long. Mm-hmm. All you have to do is know your zone. Mm-hmm. And if you don't know your zone, you can look up what zone am I in and give it the give it your zip code and they'll tell you. Google will tell you.
Yep.
And then you can Google native plants for that zone.
Well, not just zones though, right? Because zones are just weather temperature determinants. You want to like look in your specific area, and then there are also like microclimates and micro zones that you want to look in as well.
That's right. And most people have those on just on the four sides of their house.
Yeah. Yep.
So something that likes cool weather, like azaleas and rhododendrons, maybe you put it on the north side of your house, mm-hmm. where it doesn't get a harsh direct sunlight.
Yeah.
And something like tomatoes that love that heat, you put on the west side of your house.
Yeah, absolutely. And what I've been doing is over this year, you know, we're letting the back third of our yard. We have a pretty big yard. So we don't use the back third. We'd go in there, you know. I think I've headed back there three times this year. Uh-huh. And just letting it grow and watching what has come up. We have we have mugwort.
Good.
Which is a native herb that you can make a tea out of that's very good for the blood and liver if you want to do a liver cleanse.
And it also tells you about your soil. Your soil is swampy.
Yes. Oh yeah. We do have swampy soil. Yep.
I'm going to send you some filipendula. Okay. I don't know how I'm going to get it to you, but I'm going to send you some. It likes that swampy soil. So do callas. But callas won't grow in your area because it's too harsh a winter. But filipendula will.
Yeah. Yeah. But I've been harvesting the seeds from those plants and from other plants around the area. So when Queen Anne's lace was around, I got a ton of Queen Anne's lace. Phlox, I grabbed some phlox seeds. Phlox are edible and they're really beautiful. They're beautiful flowers and a variety of color. You know?
I know that phlox are native to Ohio because I was just reading about it. I can hardly believe that phlox is a native for you.
I mean, we get a ton of them over here. I don't know if they're native to our specific
if they're growing, they're good.
Yeah, but they're growing. They're gorgeous.
they are gorgeous. What color are they?
We get pink and white.
Good.
Yeah, and they're beautiful. Yeah.
Good.
And I'm in real estate, so I'm driving around all the time looking at houses and always keeping my eye out in between appointments for when I can pull over to the side of the road when there's a native that I want to grab that's going to seed. And I grab it. And I just did this with milkweed because I think we were talking about this last episode. I want butterflies next year. So I grabbed like 6 heads of milkweed. I should have grabbed more because I was talking with a girlfriend. She was like, oh yeah, I planted milkweed in the spring and it never came up. I'm like, well, because it's going to seed now. Right? So I just you know, broke them apart. It's very satisfying. I also ran into some turkeys who were, you know, out
calls
and about.
Them flying. Hunt calls turkeys flying, wild turkeys flying Volkswagens.
They totally
they're
are.
Huge in, they're huge in California.
Yeah. They're huge and they're ugly and I love them.
Yes, I do too. I do too. And did you plant your milkweed seed now?
I let it go in the backyard. Yeah.
Okay.
What should I have done? What did I do wrong?
you might have done it just great. I suspect you've just fed a whole bunch of birds.
Ah.
So go back to that place and gather another milkweed head.
Okay.
Dry it and put it in a growing pot in January.
Oh, okay.
And start it in January, and then it will be a plant that is worthy enough to survive a spring and summer and like that.
Okay. Got it. Yep.
Milkweed. I want every single house in America to grow milkweed.
Right.
There's different colors. I mean, like there's orange and yellow. And I was like, oh, I'm not going to grow milkweed because I don't like orange and yellow. There's pink showy milkweed.
What? No way.
Yes, ma'am. And what you should do is, and you're going to have to get used to the fact that it's supposed to look like crap by the end of the summer because your butterflies, caterpillars have been eating it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But if you keep it near a window and you can tolerate it looking like crap, then you get beautiful butterflies on it.
Mm-hmm. All right. So in my, this is what I read every night before I go
show
to
me
bed.
A little.
It's backwards.
What's it called?
Northeast Foraging, 120 good. Wild and flavorful edibles from beech plums to wine berries. And
oh my gosh,
they have milkweed in it.
Yes.
Because milkweed is edible three times over.
No way.
There are three parts of milkweed that you can eat literally through the entire season.
Yeah, but what's it taste like?
Okay, hold on. So let me refresh myself because I read this like right before I
fell
asleep.
Yeah, and what are the three parts?
Okay, so so you have the tender shoots when they're first coming up in the spring.
You got to have a lot of them to grab them.
Yeah.
And still want milkweed. Yeah.
Right. You want to harvest from an established spot so that you're not just killing all of them.
Right.
But you can pinch. And then you can pinch off the green flower heads. And if you open them up, they have this a milkiness in them.
Yes. Yes.
They're literally filled with latex and it doesn't have a cheesy taste, but if you're vegan, it does have a cheesy texture.
Feel.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I think just add salt to it, right?
Oh, yeah. And butter.
And butter. Well, if you're vegan, you can't have butter.
Well, what do you do? You're a butter fanatic.
Oh, well, I'm not vegan for that exact reason.
Oh, I see. Okay. Okay. Forgive me. I didn't quite catch on. Okay, good.
Yeah.
Well, but there are vegan butters.
There are vegan butters.
Yes. Yeah, so you could do that.
Yeah. So you can
or
have
olive oil.
You can have, yeah, or olive oil or other, you know, I'm not vegan, so forgive me. I try to eat local. That's what I try to do.
And forage.
And forage.
You don't eat a lot of meat.
Yep. No, we don't. And then what's the third? So we have the young tender shoots. We have the green flower heads. And
the roots? Would it be the roots?
Then, okay.
I know you're reading as fast as you can. That's okay. You're reading as fast as you can. Don't worry about it.
I thought there were three.
I think that was a surprise to me. You keep reading. I'll talk. I think that was a surprise to me that when people showed their milkweed in the garden, it looked terrible. It looked eaten like crazy. And all these caterpillars are climbing along it, but the caterpillars are colorful because they're monarch butterflies and swallowtails and all beautiful things. And I'm thinking, all right, good. So you just have to get used to the fact that there's a plant that's going to look like crap, but there it is.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So you can collect the flowers in the midsummer when they're still fully green and miniature. And they're kind of like a mutant okra. You can like make them up like you would do okra, but they don't get as sticky as okra does.
Right.
And then you can collect the pods later on, and that's what has that silky white,
the pods.
Wet,
got it. Milkiness.
Milkiness that can be used as a cheese substitute. So
okay,
thank
good.
You, Lita Meredith, for
thank you very much.
Your
and
information.
Butterflies will come if you plant milkweed.
Yeah.
They just sniff it out. And butterflies are in decline, so we need to put a milkweed plant mm-hmm. in every single backyard mm-hmm. or front yard
and one,
or side yard.
It is the most helpful thing that you can do because that's where butterflies lay their eggs and yeah. the little caterpillars eat from the milkweed when they
yep.
when they first hatch. So
it's a butterfly nursery.
Yeah. People think, oh, I'll plant butterfly plants, butterfly bushes, so that, you know, butterflies come. No, no. Actually, butterfly bushes are not native. And so no.
and,
they're not.
And they can be invasive.
And they can
they're
be
invasive.
They're
invasive in Oregon.
Yeah. And they're not a
they
natural
recede.
Food. And,
no.
you know, these bugs.
Although
have.
They are to a butterfly. The butterflies do go on my butterfly bush.
Yeah.
Any small, teeny, teeny flower, mm-hmm. like the little flowers that make up a panicle of a butterfly's blossom.
Yeah.
Or Elysium. Little tiny, tiny flowers are what the mouth of a butterfly can get its little mouth around. Mm-hmm. And that's what you need to plant for the actual full-grown butterfly. But for the babies, you need milkweed.
Yep. And in order to have more butterflies, we need more babies. it's just math.
That's right. And yarrow is a good one for that, too, because yeah. it has little tiny... tiny flowers in it.
Mm-hmm.
So the natives are designed to be the right size for the plants and the animals and the critters and the bugs around them.
Yeah.
And that's why we need to plant them in our backyards, front yards, and side yards.
Yes. Yes, exactly. And so this winter, as we're heading into the winter, we're turning down our gardens, we're putting everything to rest. This is the perfect time to study up on what
yeah.
we need to be growing, what we need to be buying as seeds, what
yeah.
we need to be looking out for next year so that we can collect the seeds because we know that they're already native.
That's right. Also, you can... There's a lot of interesting places around, nurseries and stuff, and seed places that have wildflower seed that is native to your area.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And that would also be a really good substitute for lawns.
That's true. Yeah. It takes more... I think, like, basically the tagline of native plants is read, you know?
Yeah.
Do your research first.
Yeah.
Because it's all different, and that's, I think, why it's so difficult to find generic information about it, because there is no generic information.
It's not one size fits all.
It's not. It's unique.
No.
It's yeah. about what grows best on your land. Like,
yeah.
did you know that we have native orchids in New York?
Yes.
We have native orchids. Oh, my God.
Isn't that amazing?
We're so blessed. This is amazing.
We have some in our garden. They just popped up.
Yeah.
I didn't plant them. They were, you know, the birds brought them.
Yeah. Some other like fan favorites that we have in New York that, you know, you may
Tell
not
me.
Realize, I didn't realize were native, are
what?
Like northern blue flags. I love them.
Oh, interesting.
Great blue lobelia. I know you've talked
yes.
about lobelia before. Wild bergamot. Let's see. Blue asters. There are
yes.
some varieties that are natives.
yes.
You know, we have broadleaf sedge, phlox.
Yes.
Bottle
now, broadleaf sedge. See, I'm against grasses because they don't bloom. They don't give me any serious return. They don't bloom for the bees. They don't
Fair.
Give it, you know, so I don't like grasses. There it is. You can hate me later, but I don't like them.
I don't. I mean... I hate grass, too, in general.
I know. I don't understand why people want to grow a grass when you could grow something beautiful.
Yeah.
You could be looking at penstemon
mm-hmm.
or a phlox instead of a grass.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. Right? Like, the magic of watching your flowers bloom is just, it's wonderful.
And also, if you can, this time of year, in early fall, it's mid-fall to you, but it's early fall to us here. We got 86 degrees on Saturday. I know. If you can resist cutting, deadheading your plants, then suddenly they go to seed. Now, some plants you don't want to go to seed. You want to save them and have the plant get strong again. But if there's an annual that you want to have go to seed, because it's not going to come back, let it go to seed and let the birds eat them.
Yeah.
Give the birds and wildlife, rabbits would probably eat them too. Give them a chance to have a meal.
Yeah. We are so, there was this amazing quote that I read the other day, where it was, if you are giving more than you're getting, you know, if any plant is giving out more than it's getting in, it is dying. It is in the process of dying. So what we want to be doing essentially is giving and receiving as much as possible and, you know, creating this ecosystem that all works in balance. And that includes working with the bugs and the bats and the birds and the bees. And we want all of our plants to take up space. And we want to take up space too. We want to be getting and giving equal amounts so that we grow.
Well, I think it's one is dependent upon the other is dependent upon the other. Without nature, we can't breathe, period.
Yeah.
I mean, if we don't have any trees on the planet, the air would not be here.
Yeah.
So plants and trees are essential. So if you want to have a healthy life, you've got to have a healthy environment around you. You know, and a lot of people love to, I know that they want a neat look, and so they'll gravel over their lawn or they'll concrete over their lawn. And I understand that that's what they like and what they want. But if you want to sit out in your backyard and watch nature, you can't use gravel and concrete to do it.
If you want to keep living, you're going to need some other tools.
And if you want your grandchildren to have a life.
Yeah. But also,
it's not just you.
Yeah. Yeah. Also, like, I don't know. Yeah. I do run into people who, you know, ask me, how much do you think it'd be to cut this tree down? And it's like this 300-year-old oak. Yeah. And it hurts. It hurts me, you know?
Well, you know, they don't want the mess. And I would turn to them, but I'm not a real estate agent. I would turn to them and say, I don't know, do you want to still breathe?
Right. Yeah.
I mean, there's, we have a bunch of falling down oaks at the bottom of our property where there's a little seasonal creek. And when we first got here, there was an arborist that would come in and say, oh, Ms. Rama, I can take care of that for you. And I'd say, what do you mean? He'd say, well, you know, we can take down those trees. I said, don't you touch those trees.
No.
He said, yeah, but some of them have fallen down. I said, yeah, and there's how many? That's an apartment complex.
Yes.
That's an apartment complex for all kinds of critters in there.
Yeah.
Why would I dehome them?
And it's
all
going,
right, it's your funeral.
It's going back into the soil and all of those nutrients that the tree took out, you know, and gathered in life are going back. It's all connected. And
I'd say, but those trees down there are rotten. And I'd say, then let them rot.
And there are some beautiful things that you can do with fallen trees. Grow mushrooms in them. Get some mushroom spores.
Mushrooms. Did your mushrooms ever come up?
No, they never
No way.
Did. No, I know. So I'm going back to square one next year next summer, next spring. I think I need to give them more air to breathe because we drilled them right into like deadwood. And all of the mushroom growing tutorials that I've seen have them growing in like plastic laundry baskets filled with sawdust.
Sawdust, not mushroom compost?
And mushroom compost. And yeah, you sprinkle the spores in there or just part of a mushroom. You know, you want shiitake mushrooms, chop it up. I think you have to like disinfect it somehow.
Yeah, of course.
Because you don't want other fungus that comes along with it.
Soak it in a bathtub full of 10% Clorox water.
Oh, yeah.
And then rinse it.
Mm-hmm.
And then rinse it really well. Don't soap it. You know, just soak it. Mm-hmm. And then you'll be free of the fungus and stuff.
Yeah.
But Elizabeth, that's very disappointing. I would write to the company and say, I would email the company and say, hey,
yeah,
you know, I got nothing from this because you spent some money on it.
It was $15 for 100 plugs. So, and I used 30 of them. So I'm not out a huge amount. And I'm still hopeful that, like, you know, the spores are active. I'm going to lay the log down over the winter time so it can, you know, maybe it just needs to age more, get more damp,
It requires cool and damp.
So I haven't fully given up on it yet. I'll be curious to see if it does anything next year. And yeah, cool, damp, I'll keep everyone posted.
Cool, damp, and dark.
Cool, damp, and dark. Yeah. Speaking of my yard, you know what I'm going to be doing?
What?
So it's Halloween coming up.
Yeah.
And I have chickens. And apparently, if you get a pumpkin started for the chickens, you carve just like a little notch out where you want each eye to be and a little notch out where you want the mouth to be. Apparently, they will go at it and carve the pumpkin for you.
They know to put in a mouth and a nose.
Well, you start it where you want them to peck.
So
you guide them. Yeah.
So they like pumpkin.
Oh, yeah. Get a pumpkin. I mean, they'll eat.
I didn't know that.
So I'm going to try it. I'm going to get a pumpkin and, you know, have the chickens carve it with their little beaks and pecks.
I love it. And we'll need to see that online.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, we'll need to see the full effect.
Full effect, yes.
Excellent. Well, I made ragu this week because we finally had enough tomatoes.
Yum.
I mean it. It was harvested in the last week of September.
Yep.
And and we finally got enough tomatoes. In fact, I told him to get out 3 pounds of hamburger because we have a quarter steer of meat in our freezer. And I went, okay, I'm going to make this ragu. And after I had looked in the pan, after it had been cooking for a while, I realized that we had enough for maybe 7 or 8 pounds of ragu.
Oh, my.
So we doubled the recipe with just the same amount of tomatoes in there and cooked it down. And now I've got ragu for 6 or 7 dinners. Yay.
Good job. Yeah. That's wonderful.
Yeah. It's good. So what did you have for dinner last night or tonight?
Forrest made shrimp scampi yesterday.
Yum.
So we had leftover shrimp scampi, and I made a squash soup that we said that we were going to have, but then never served up. That was going to be our vegetable. So I think after this, we'll probably go back for round two of soup.
That sounds good.
Yeah.
That sounds really good. What kind of squash?
Butternut. I love a good butternut squash.
Well, first of all, it's orange.
Oh, I forgot. Everything orange.
What the
I
hell
love
you
orange.
Think?
Orange is great.
I know.
We don't have to
agree. One of us has to. We don't have to agree. And somebody has to like orange and eat butternut squash.
That's true. It's true.
I like zucchini.
Yep.
Sorry. Anyway, sweetheart. Every person who wants to grow natives, and I highly recommend that you start one or two things that are native. Just start with one or two. You're going to love the fact that they come back. Mm-hmm. Even if they're an annual, they might reseed. But if they're a perennial, they're used to your particular weather in your particular backyard, front yard, side yard, whatever.
Yeah.
And you will meet with more success without very, very much to have to fuss with.
And also, secondly, oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, that's okay. Go ahead. And also?
And also, you know, I mean, we have a little community here. So with that, if you have questions or feel like you don't know where to start with natives in your own area, whether you're somewhere else or in New York or in Oregon or wherever you are, reach out to us, you know, DM me on Instagram, shoot us an email, go through our website and, you know, tell us about where you are, what your land looks like, and we'll help you get started and, you know, set you up with some resources.
Also, you can Google, if you don't want to go through all that too, you can also just Google native plants for your area.
Yeah.
For your zone, start with your zone first, and you can call up your master gardeners through your co-op university extension. And there will be people that will have a list of natives. You can go to a bookstore or...
well, also, your government, your local government or state will probably have... at least New York does anyway. New York
State...
What do
they have? You can't call up the governor and ask him for a native plant list.
No, you can't. But the state of New York has
a list?
Yeah. DEC.NewYork.gov has a ton of information about all of the native plants in the area and what to grow, what light, soil, height, zone, all of the information.
I think every state has some sort of horticultural center that can help you with your natives. You know,
yeah.
Missouri has the Missouri Botanical Garden in St. Louis. And these people that are growing things are thrilled for you to call up.
Yeah.
Thrilled for you to say, I need a native plant for my backyard. Oh my gosh. That's like Christmas to them. Because... we only have this one place. That's it.
We gardeners, we love to share. We love to talk.
And there's no planet B. There's no planet B for us to go to if this one doesn't work out.
But also I think, you know, because it is so scary. But I think we also need to focus on what, not just the threat of it and the stick of it, but also the carrot of, you know, we can grow this amazing native paradise and realizing how bountiful our land is, you know, one thing.
And how much easier it is.
Yeah. Yeah.
And how much more successful you'll be. Mm-hmm. If you plant a perennial native in your garden or in your backyard, front yard, whatever, in your place, mm-hmm. and it requires sun and you put it in sun, it's going to be there next year.
Yeah. One thing that, you know, as I'm foraging and getting into that and talking to other people and pointing out, oh, yeah, this is edible, actually. The one most common reaction that I get that makes me so sad is, oh, my God, I wouldn't eat that. I can't trust it. And I'm like, no, I there are no, you know, poisonous lookalikes. This plant is safe. It's like a dandelion leaf, like. I know what a dandelion leaf is.
You know,
and I think we're just so like brainwashed into thinking that there isn't food in our yards when there is so much. We all live in, you know, these oases and we're just not seeing the beauty that is right in your backyard.
Yes. And they see it as a weed instead.
And it's not a weed. It's food and for someone.
When people say they don't trust it, it's because they don't know enough.
Yeah, exactly.
Because they haven't been educated enough to see that.
Exactly.
And that's okay.
Yeah.
People's, I'm not going to call it ignorance. I'm going to call it reluctance mm-hmm. to try something that's so old it's new.
Mm-hmm.
It comes not from stupidity,
no,
but just from having forgotten an old way.
Yeah.
Their great-great-great-grandmothers ate dandelions for dinner.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Food stores are such a recent invention. And I think it's amazing how quickly we've forgotten that, you know, if your ancestors lived anywhere but a city, they were probably, you know, with the season, harvesting roots, cooking them up.
They weren't probably, they were.
They were. They were. They were eating these foods. And when you open yourself up to eating such a diverse bounty of food, you're also getting so many more vitamins and nutrients that you weren't getting before, you know, eating same old five vegetables that we all eat.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not, it's hard to hear, oh, I don't trust that. It's hard to hear it over and over and over again. But if you could gently say to them, oh, I bet your great grandmother ate this.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think you're right. It's not ignorance. It's, you know, we've forgotten.
It is ignorance.
We've forgotten.
It's not stupidity. It's ignorance.
Yeah.
It's a lack of knowledge.
Yeah.
It's not that she's too dumb to learn it. It's that she doesn't understand that it's something valuable that her great-grandmother forgot to tell her.
It's lost knowledge that we're...
It's lost knowledge.
We are getting back into and reclaiming.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's how our ancestors kept themselves alive. Yeah. There were no supermarkets in Oklahoma in 1840. There just weren't.
No. They couldn't say, oh, what's for dinner? I'll throw together some Kraft mac and cheese. That was not an option.
No. No. Or what aisle is the bacon on? They didn't have that.
No, you had old Miss Piggy, and you know, coming winter, you gotta say goodbye to her if you want bacon.
I know, and they ate a lot more beans, Elizabeth. Oh, my God, they ate a lot more beans.
We don't have to go there.
We don't have to go there.
The good news is we do have supermarkets.
We do have choice. But the bad news is that some of us have lost the old ways.
Yeah.
And it's not too late to plant a native. Even this year, it's not too late to plant a native. And it's not too late to enjoy it and have the success of it. You don't need to amend your soil much. Just dig a big hole.
Yep.
And love on it a little bit.
Yeah.
And they're accustomed to what your yard will put it through this year. They're accustomed to it.
Yeah. Yeah. They are primed for it.
I think it's high success gardening.
I agree. I agree. It's smart gardening. You know, you do a little research ahead of time. You plant it. You can forget about it.
Yeah.
And then you just...
And it'll look good.
Yeah. And isn't one of the best parts of gardening being able to enjoy your garden? Not just always going out and being like, oh, I have to go work the garden again. Like, no, you want to go out and have a lemonade or read a book and... watch the bees buzz and the flowers and
You know, when I traveled to England and I saw all these gardens for a month in England, I was aware that I wanted to just sit down and stare.
Yeah.
Just stare. Because it was such a wealth of beauty around me. And when you put yourself into beauty, whether it's just the milkweed plant in front of your window and the butterflies come to it, or it's a rose that you love, or it's a native dandelion that you're going to have for dinner. Mm-hmm. It's all beautiful. when you get to be in that beauty, it changes you. You become grateful. You become humble. You become awed, and you want to spread it and give it because it fills you up and you have more to give to your fellow man, to your fellow environment, to everybody.
Exactly.
And everything.
Exactly. We are all working so hard and I think so stressed in today's age, and there's just nothing like taking your shoes and socks off and sinking your toes into, you know, the ground and just, you know, watching a grasshopper hop lazily. And
I like to watch bees go in and out of snapdragons and foxgloves. They they wiggle their butts in and they wiggle their butts out. And I just, it's one of my favorite things.
Yeah.
Also, a bee flew into the swimming pool, and several years ago that happened before, and Haunt and I were in the pool, and I scooped out this bee as quickly as I could. And we, the three of us, Haunt and me and the bee, spent probably a good 30 minutes watching him dry off in my hand and recover and sun himself and fly away.
Oh, and the trust and the slowness and the, oh.
It was healing for all three of us.
Yeah. 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 I think native gardening is slow gardening.
It is slow gardening. Gardening teaches you patience.
Yeah.
Whether you like it or not, you don't get instant gratification unless you plant all full blooming things and then they die quickly and then you have to transplant them again.
Yeah.
No, gardening teaches you patience and the rhythm of the seasons. Everything vibrates.
It does.
And gardening has a special vibration that heals you.
Mm-hmm.
It heals you. I want to put forth, and I don't know where to begin to do this, I want to put forth a program for vets, Army vets, Native vets, Army vets, Navy vets, Marine vets, people that were shell-shocked.
Yeah.
Hurt, yeah. Traumatized, they would make such good gardeners. As long as they're physically capable, they could be in nature, in the quiet,
mm-hmm.
with the only thing buzzing around them or speaking around them are birds and bees, and create beauty around them in peaceful settings. And we could train them to be fine gardeners, and they would make a good living, and they would heal themselves.
Yeah.
But I have nowhere to go. I don't know where I would go with that.
I think that would be such an, because it is rehabilitation, you know?
Yes.
And that's one of the reasons, it's therapy. It's, you know, yeah. Yeah. It's self-care.
And you know, when you hear bombs and things with backfiring cars and they go into that trauma, but in gardens, you don't hear that.
No.
You hear other things in gardens.
Yeah.
And it does heal you. Nature heals you.
I think there's
better than almost anything.
Absolutely. And there's something so magical about caring for something else.
Yes.
And
something
watching
so
it
vulnerable.
Grow. That is, I plant this little seed and I want it to take all of the nutrients and grow as big as it can. And
yes.
Just be as stunning and wonderful as it possibly could be.
Yes.
Because that's feeding me just as much as it's feeding it.
That's right. And it's hard to explain that to people until they've planted a seed and seen it grow.
Mm-hmm.
It's really hard to do that, but it's such a healing experience.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Enough preaching. Native plants, everybody. Go online. Go find your native sources for your area. Go talk to your master gardener people. Go talk to your nursery people. If you don't know where to begin, ask them. They'll know somebody.
Yeah. Yeah. And send in any questions, comments,
yeah.
stories that you may have. You can find us at gardening.related on Instagram or gardeningrelated.com.
Good.
And if you would be so kind to also leave us a review and subscribe on whatever app you're listening to us on, that would be so helpful and amazing.
Okay. I don't even know what that means. So there it is.
So
thanks
there it
for
is.
Asking that. All right. I got to get back to dinner. I'm going to have ragu for dinner tonight.
Enjoy your ragu.
I wish you were here to help me with it, but you wouldn't need it because it's got beef in it.
It's true. Well, it's local beef. I would eat local beef.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
What did they call it? What did you call it? Business meat?
Oh.
Once?
Yeah. Yeah. When I'm at a client's house and they serve me meat. It is business meat and I eat it.
It's business. It doesn't count.
It doesn't count.
It does not count. Okay. We got that straight. So this is aunt meat.
This is aunt
and uncle. Yep. Aunt and uncle family meat.
Doesn't count.
Doesn't count. I love you whole bunches.
I love you whole bunches.
Okay. We'll talk soon. Mwah.
Mwah. Check us out on TikTok at Gardening Related, our website at gardeningrelated.com, and our Instagram at gardening.related. Ask us questions, buy supplies, leave your feedback, and give us some love.
Oh, I like that.